Thank you, everyone, and thank you for that very kind introduction. And thank you for inviting me to give this presentation on Windows 10. And this is sort of a capsule of what's new in Windows 10 version 1709. As you are aware, that Microsoft has said that this is the last Windows that we'll ever have to install, and that they will be giving periodic updates. And of course, this last one was in October 1709. They're already preparing to introduce the next version, which would probably come along in the early summer. I'm thinking probably late May, early June. But right now we have 1709, and I'd like to show you some of the features that we have. So the Windows shell is the main part of Windows that people interact with every day. It's the I'm sorry? Oh, you can't? Hold on. Sorry. Okay, can you see it now? Okay, that's what we want. The Windows shell is the main part of Windows that people interact with every day. It's the start menu, it's the action center, it's File Explorer. So I'm going to show you all the noteworthy changes that has showed up in those locations. So the start menu is now horizontally, it's now smoother. In other words, now the start menu, you can resize it in any direction that you like. Well, you can make it large or small. It also has something they call an acrylic background. I don't know if you can actually tell here, but it's actually translucent. And one of the things that a lot of people get confused about is that the scroll bars now shrink away when the cursor isn't near them. So, for instance, if you're looking at this and you say, well, where's my scroll bar? If you move your cursor toward it, you'll see that now it's visible. So when you're looking at any window in Windows 10 and you do not see the scroll bar, don't leave your cursor over here on the side. Move it into the window itself, and then the scroll bar will appear. Also, they've added new contact menu icons in Start. So what you will see are these types of graphics. They also show up over here as well. As you see, this is Movie, this is Groove, this is the calculator, and this is Maps. So these icons now have also moved into the context menu icons. The Action Center, which is over here, the Action Center is shows here, and as you notice that it has changed quite a bit. It will have a lot of your, it'll have all your notifications, such as the ones that you're seeing here. It told me about my virus and threat protection. Unauthorized changes blocked. These are notifications that something has occurred with, and that Windows Defender has detected those. Also, it shows mail that I've received, and see, you can see Jim gave me a call on Skype, and it all shows there. I would be able to reply to Jim and says, thank you, I will see you then. And then I can send it right from here. One of the things about the notifications is that you'll get, we won't probably see some, but the post notifications will come in as a flyaway, and they will show up in this area, and I can just, rather than click the X, doesn't really close it out, I just click the arrow, and that does not affect these at all. They will still be there for me to view. the significance of the notifications are it gives you information of everything that's occurring on this PC plus some of your other devices. And you set that up. Say, for instance, I like to see notifications on my mail. So rather than have to go to my mail, it just shows me that I've received an email. Or if I receive a text message on my phone, it also will show here as well, such as the one that Jim showed. This right here is an email that I got from Gmail. Right here is a notification. I gave an earlier presentation, and it notified me that I have a Zoom presentation to give at 7 o'clock, and I can snooze this notification for 5 minutes. Here's a telephone call that I missed, and I can respond by that through text message. Does that answer your question? That's a good question, and I should have looked that up. I really don't have a good answer for that. What I will do, I will send the information back through Jim, and he can pass it on to you.
What does toast do when it's done?
Pops up.
I'm thinking what it means is that when it says toast, it means it makes an appearance on the screen. But I don't know if that's the correct definition. I apologize. I should have looked that up.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Will this feature you're showing me now, Toaster, that menu system regarding email, does that work with all mail clients or just Outlook?
It only works with the mail client that's included with Windows Mail. Although, that's not entirely true, because this mail right here I received from, this mail client here is a universal mail client. You notice I have my SBC Global account, my Gmail account, my Cox account, and then another Gmail account. As long as these clients appear in this, as long as these email accounts appear in this app, then they will show here anytime anything changes.
So that's a mail. That's a mail client that's included with Windows 10.
Exactly.
What if you have Office installed, and part of that, of course, is Outlook?
You can also include an Outlook account. You go to add an account.
Oh, I see.
Outlook. Well, these two are also included. Now, this is Outlook.com, so that's different. But the Exchange you probably can configure to use. I do not use Outlook myself.
Well, of course, it's the email client of choice in a lot of enterprise situations who depend on Microsoft Office.
Right.
So I think it would. It's all Microsoft, but you never know.
Right. Now, I can attest that this works very well. Another new feature is now, it's called My People Hub. And you should see here, this icon, that gives you quick access to all your contacts. So when I click this, I can go here and find a particular contact, as you see, and I can click on that, and it will then give me access to mail and a Skype contact. So if I want to email this person, I just click on it, and then it brings up a new mail for me to then I can address this and send it without having to actually go to the mail client. So this is something new. And I can also pin three of my favorites here and also respond to those as well. This will also notify me when I receive new emails from, say, for instance, Julie Taylor. There'll be a number indicated on the side, and I can respond to it right from the taskbar. This is all the mail that she has sent me. And if I want to send a new one, I can do like I did before, or I can respond to one that's already been sent. So it gives you quick, PeopleHub gives you quick access to all your contacts and any associated communication apps such as Skype. So as I said before, the My PeopleHub icon on the taskbar allows you to pin up to three contacts, which you see here. And then My PeopleHub also gives you the quick access to all your contacts and associate communication apps. You can drag and drop a file directly onto a contact. Say, for instance, if I want to send Julie a file, I could bring up my file and I could just drag it down to share with Julie Taylor. And then it brings up, I have a choice of the emails that she has. I just click on it and I'm going to choose that one. And there you see the attachment. All I have to do is hit send. So it makes sharing directly with contacts directly from your share user interface. Another change has been Cortana. Cortana can now lock, sign out, shut down, restart your PC with voice commands. So I could go here and says, Cortana, turn off PC. And then I'm just going to say cancel. But anyway, I could go ahead and do that. I could also ask her to do, Cortana, restart my PC. So I'm pretty sure this is just the beginning, and you'll find a lot more of these type of commands that will occur and, future versions of Windows. One of the things that Cortana can also do is use web snippets. So if I want to go here and say I want to inquire cars, you notice here that right here I have this little preview result. I can click that. And it'll bring up the web results. I don't even have to bring up my browser. And then I just have to click on that, and then it will bring up. So this makes searches very easy. It uses Bing as the result. Cortana now has its own area in settings. So before, Cortana had their settings buried within the app itself. Now it's over in settings by itself. So I can click on this and it gives me all the things I need that I want to customize with Cortana. As I mentioned earlier, File Explorer has a lot of new interesting things as well. So when I bring up File Explorer, I have the I can share files within a contacts menu. So if I do this, and say, for instance, I want to share this particular file, I can just right-click on it. And then, as you notice, it has my share. I can click here. And then I have these different, I can share it with my contacts. I can also share it with Dropbox, Mail, OneNote, Skype. And these are contacts specific. So it depends on what particular file or document that you bring up. But you can share them directly within File Explorer. Also, you can also have choices to edit photos, either using the photo app or the new Paint 3D. So if I went to my photos, I do not even have to go over and do any particular I don't have to pull, I can do it right here. I can right click on this photo, and then I can edit with photos or edit with 3D paint. So I just click on that, and then it comes up in photos, the photo app, and then I have these choices I can do. I do not even have to go to the photo application. There's also, I can also give access to that particular file if I want to by, I lost my, yeah, that's, I'll catch back up. Okay. I'm going to do the, okay. In File Explorer, I can still, if I want to share a particular file, I can right-click on it and go here to share, and I still get the same, I can share it with email, with Facebook, with Dropbox, or any of these kinds of different applications that's installed on my computer. Yeah. Hold on a second. All right. Now, I'm getting too many windows open here. All right. So I could give access anyone that I wanted to on a particular file folder. So I would go here to my File Explorer. Say, for instance, I wanted to share this with a particular file with Jim. I could go here and say give access, and then click on specific people, and I could type Jim's name in there, and I could click on share. So then Jim would have access to that particular file. Okay. There's been various improvements, includes ways to interact with Windows, whether it be with a mouse or a keyboard, touchscreen, or pen. So it's not really specific as to what you have. Like here I have a touchscreen, and I can interface with my computer just with my fingers, or I can use a keyboard, whatever I need, whatever particular device I have at the time. One of the things is that if you want to add emojis to your documents, that's very simple. I'm going to bring up a new email. Now, if I want to do an emoji, all I do is click on the Windows key and the period. And see, I have my emojis here. And I can then just click on whatever I want, and it adds that to it. There's also an updated touch keyboard with shape writing with one-hand mode, and that would be here. And I can, I need to have a document up. But I can use this to be able to write. In Edge, for instance, there is a new handwriting panel. So here it gives me different things that I can use to underline or highlight whatever I wish to do. And if you have a pen, you can also scroll lists and web pages in that manner. So I think you're aware that settings will be the future replacement for the control panel. So this is going to be our control panel at some point. So with every version of Windows, they keep adding to this app. So like I said earlier, Cortana has been added. There's also phone, and we'll talk about phone in a little bit. But those changes, there has been a lot of changes with that. So one thing about it is that if you go here to System and you go to About, you'll find this information, which tells what the status of your PC is in regard to various threat protection, firewall and network protection, device performance and health, app and mouse control. And as I see here, I have all green ones. Now, this information is derived from Windows Defender. As you see, those correspond to these icons. As you see on the left side, you see the same exact icons. So when I click on Virus Threat and Protection, I get this kind of information. And it says, no threats found, my last scan with this date, number of threats, file scan. I can also initiate a quick scan if I like. I can do an advanced scan. But in the applet, in the settings applet, you get a quick preview of what the status of your PC is, how it's being protected. Another thing in settings is something new called Storage Sense. Storage Sense can automatically delete files in your download folder after 30 days, as for an example. So if I go to settings, and this is customized under system, you'll see storage, and then you'll find Storage Sense. Now, you can turn this on or off, but what it does, it allows Windows to automatically free up space by getting rid of files that you don't need. And then you can also change how that is done. You can turn Storage Sense on or off, and then you can select which temporary files that you would like to for Windows to automatically to delete. And if you're low on space, you can do a free up space now by clicking this and click on clean now. It sort of corresponds with, remember when we went to our hard drive, right clicked on it, did properties, and you got this applet here, and you could do a disk cleanup. Well, now you can do that here, and it essentially does the same thing. Yes, you can.
You heard, I whispered, you heard that, right?
I heard that whisper, yes.
Yeah, it's right over this new conference microphone. You mentioned Edge. That's the Microsoft's new browser that replaces IE, correct?
Yes.
Well, will this these things you're showing us with the browser working with Windows 10, will another browser, like, for example, Google Chrome, will that work with it?
Yes. You can have as many browsers on Windows 10 as you like. I thought I had Chrome on here, but let's see here. No, I have Google Chrome, so I can, it works just fine.
Okay, well, that's good, because Chrome is a very popular browser.
Yeah, you can use Chrome. What you will have to do is that if you want to use this full time, then you'll have to go and set it as a default browser. So to do that, you go to Settings, and you go here to where it says Apps, Default Apps, and then you go here to Defaults, and scroll down to Web Browser, and then click here, and then select which one you want to be the default. Right now, of course, I'm in Edge, but I can have Google Chrome. I could also go back to IE if I want to, but IE is not a safe browser to use, so I recommend that you don't use it. I think Microsoft is making minimal security updates to it, but Microsoft Edge is a lot faster. But if I had Vivaldi here, it would show. If I had, I can't remember some of the others, but any browser that I had installed on my machine would be
Thunderbird
here, and then I could choose which one I wanted to be my default.
Like Thunderbird, for example. Firefox. Or excuse me, Firefox.
I could have Firefox.
Well, you mentioned IE. That's been getting pretty long in the tooth for quite some time.
Yes.
So I use that forever, but.
But unfortunately, if you have if you're running Windows 7, you don't have a whole lot of choice other than using Firefox or Google Chrome, because Edge will not run. Edge will only run in 10. I'm sorry.
Safari's no longer supported.
I'm pretty sure. Now, the one thing about Windows 10 is that you're going to have to go to the Microsoft Store, and then you'll have to do here Safari and see if it's there. If it's not, then you will have to go to the Apple website and download it, and then Windows will fuss. It'll say that this is a third-party app that's not available in the store. Do you want to install it? And you say yes, it'll let you install it. Okay. Any other questions? I'm sorry.
We're getting the microphone.
Yeah, for Windows 10, what are your favorite apps for maintaining the performance of Windows 10?
I don't think I understood what you said.
What tools do you prefer when you have a maintenance problem on Windows 10? You need to clean it up, or you need to increase the speed. It's slowing down on you. What are your favorite tools that you bring to that
Jim,
task?
I'm just getting mumbled. I can't understand.
Oh, okay. How about now? I'm choking the mic now. Testing, 1, 2, testing.
Jim? Yes. Are you saying about how do you maintain it?
Yeah, what's your favorite tool for maintaining it? Your favorite set of tools, if you have more than one, for maintaining Windows 10. What do you run to maintain it, to keep the performance up?
I understand here. What I do to keep the performance up, I actually do nothing. I don't use any of the third-party enhancements like CCleaner or any of those things. What you see here is actually what's out of the box, and it's been running on this PC probably for, I don't know, this PC is fairly new, so I would say at least 6 or 7 months. Now, what I did also do is I'm very religious about running my Windows updates, so I have it set to automatic, and so it updates when it needs to. But I don't run like PC Mechanic or any of those kinds of things. I don't think they're really necessary. Does that answer your question? In Windows settings, there is a sidebar on most applications. So say, for instance, if I was interested in finding more multitasking, you see over here on the right side, I have some tips that I can use. There's a video here I can watch. So there's a lot of these throughout Windows that you can run, and you can run them full screen if you so like. So these tips are always available. And one thing you have to remember is that when you see a blue hyperlink here, you click on that, you get additional information. So there's a lot of help within Windows 10 as far as being able to utilize it and get a good experience. And if you get lost, is that you should try Cortana. Say, for instance, if you want to change display settings, just type in change display, and you'll see that it shows up. Click it. Bring up settings, and then there's your information that you need to change your display settings. Or if you want to, let's say, find a file. If I'm looking at a particular file, I can type in that file. I was looking for Aunt Madge. So I could go there and it brings up Word. There's the document that I was working on. So Cartana is a really powerful search engine. I could probably say, Cartana, find file Aunt Madge. I didn't say that correctly. Cartana, open file Aunt Madge. Oops. Cartana, open file Aunt Madge. Well, she's not going to find it because I'm not pronouncing that. One of the things with voice recognition, you have to really be precise when you open, when you're asking it to do something. Okay. So we talked about the sidebar, the contextual menu. Windows updates have now individual progress indicators when downloading and installing. If you notice Windows updates, here, I have an update that's waiting for a restart. But notice here, your device is scheduled to restart outside of active hours. My active hours are 8 a.m. to 10. So I can change those hours to any time within this, within 18 hours. So say for if I want to change that to 12, I would do so, and now It is scheduled to restart outside of this 8 a.m. and 12. So after 12, then this will go ahead and restart. I can view my update history, and it gives me all the updates that have occurred. If I want to know more about them, I can click there. And it'll take me to the information regarding that particular update. Normally, I just allow my updates to just run normally without me doing any kind of interference. And I just showed you the activity monitor. So here, oh, I hit that by mistake. All right. Apologize profusely for that. Let's see here. Okay, we were over here in settings and we're talking about when those date and I made a fatal mistake. So now, as you can see, it's that update is now gone, and I can view the installed updates. And it's also, since I've come back into it, it's going to check and see if there's some more out there. But as you say, there's on the right-hand side, there is help where it says you can select a convenient time to receive updates and select change active hours. And that's kind of important. That's what I was really trying to demonstrate, that this part right here is really important so that you will not have what just happened to me. But actually, I forced that because it was waiting for me to update after those hours, but I accidentally pressed that button. But as long as you're within these right here, then nothing will occur. As you say, right now there are, this one right here is waiting. And these are my Windows Defender, because the only thing I use on my for antivirus is Windows Defender. I don't use a third-party antivirus. Now, that's not to say that you can't install a Avast or Norton or whatever you like. You can. And when you do so, you can still actually run Windows Defender. It'll say that a third party antivirus is installed, but it will allow you to run a scan using Windows Defender. So you got another way of checking your computer. Okay. Any questions at this point? So like I said, is that there's also a slight change in the orders of the settings categories where they've added new ones. So, and there will be more new ones coming out with the next update. So this is a new one, so it's kind of changed the order, and of course Cortana. Another thing, too, is you can, these are kind of out of order, but the delivery optimization improvements. What that really means is that when you do an update, you can choose how your updates can be optimized to download quicker. And it's some confusion about that, and that when you see that, it's almost a little bit scary, because it's under advanced options, and you see where it says delivery optimization. And when you click on that, you see this. It says Windows Update Delivery Optimization provides you with Windows and Store app updates and other Microsoft products quickly and reliably. So the words, it says, allow downloads from other PCs. And you go, oh, gosh, I don't want to do that. It all depends on what you have. Is that if you allow downloads from other PCs, which I do, and because I have two other machines within my local network, so I go ahead and choose that option. But I can also choose PCs on my local networks and other PCs on the Internet. And that's the part, I guess, that's a little bit scary. But I played with this a couple times and actually had that set to actually try and use the other ones. Because what this will do is that it puts a copy of the updates on, it downloads to one machine, and then the others will grab the updates from that machine. So it doesn't have to go out and grab it by itself. It can grab it from a machine that's on your local network. So that's actually what that means. And I'm thinking that the PCs on the Internet, I never got a real good definition. I think these are ones that Microsoft has put out there that will allow those also to act as servers to speed up the process. So there's not a really good explanation of that, but that's my take of what they're actually mean by that. So we have that, and if you're on a metered system, you can track how much download that you've used within a given month. And then, of course, there's all sorts of tips and videos and various operating features, and we talked about that. One of the other things that I like is the linking of your Android or iPhone device to your Windows 10 PC. So what that actually does is that when you go here, and you'll see this app that says Phone, Link Your Phone, and there's my phone. And what this does is that when any activity happens on my phone, such as I get a text message, then I also will get a notification here. I'm one to not necessarily have my, when I'm home, my cell phone is probably another room, probably on the charger. But if a text message or something comes in on it, I can see it here in my in my notifications. As you see, it says mixed calls. And there's the call that I think that Jim made earlier, if I've got the area code right. But that's what, when you link your phone, is that you get notifications from that device. So that's a nice feature. I think it's worth trying. You can always go in and unlink it if you don't like it. Go ahead. Can I transfer? I'm not catching the last word. Oh, can you transfer pictures? Your pictures will be, depends on how you have your phone set, then they will, come across. It's like, I have mine set so that my pictures will go into OneDrive. And so they're essentially coming to my PC, but not on my hard drive, but I can access them from, OneDrive. And then if I'm using Google, if I have an Android phone, then the pictures are automatically there without you doing anything because your Android phone is backing up everything to the cloud. So say for instance on your phone you have something called Photos. That app that's on your phone is called Photos. You can install Photos on your PC. Let's see if I have it here. This is Windows Photos, so that's not the same one. But Photos, we can do it this way. We can get to it this way. All you need to do is go here to Google and bring it up. And you see these dots right here, these nine dots. If you click that, that gives you access to the Google Apps. All you have to do is click here on Photos, and all the photos that you have on your phone will appear here. These are pictures that I took on my phone, and now I have them here. Now, if I want to download those, I can just just save it. And you can also upload them as well. And you can share them. Now this is in Google, this is just using, Google Chrome and, accessing the apps, that photo app and everything you've taken on your Android phone is going to be there. And you can do a lot of editing here as well. And then, of course, share with your friends and neighbors. There's all your contacts. So to answer your question, that's kind of an indirect answer because those pictures are not physically stored on your PC, but you do have access to them if you're using an Android phone. And if you are using a iOS or Apple iPhone, if you install that app on your iPhone, you'll get the same functionality. Okay, Microsoft Edge, there's been some changes with it. A lot of people are not aware that Microsoft Edge is actually a PDF reader. You don't necessarily have to have Adobe Acrobat or any other PDF reader installed because Edge will read those documents for you. It also will allow you to do form fill with them. And so you don't have to have that extra software installed if you don't want to, because Edge will do it. It also works as an EPUB reader as well. Now, that's a specific reader for books. I don't think it's compatible. Whoops. Sorry. I don't think it's compatible with Kindles or anything like that. I'm not familiar with what file formats Kindles read, but EPUB is the one that that Edge uses. So if we go to Edge, and if you notice here that we have this is really called the hub. And that's where you find your favorites, your reading list, and this is your books, and this is the history, and this is the for your downloads. So I went to the Microsoft store and got this book. And the reason why I chose this book, because I think it was like a dollar. So it's not the best literature in the world, but it serves my purpose for demonstrations. So if I click on this, it's going to come up in Edge. I'll make it full screen. Now, the really nice thing about this is that I can do some things. I can launch what's referred to as Read Aloud. I can click this, and then I get this.
Screen to Gresh as he plummeted into the vast black pit. His old friend, Scabber Stormfart, had ignored his pitiful cries for mercy and with a whispered sorry.
I can also a new previous paragraph. I can pause. I can change the person that's reading. There are three. This is Microsoft David, but there's also Zira and Mark, and they have different pitches of voice. This guy is a tenor. He's a baritone. Of course, she's a soprano. So you can choose the voice that's most that you feel comfortable with. I mean, that you feel comfortable hearing, and then of course I can do the speed of how what the cadence is. So this is an EPUB that that Microsoft Edge can read. Other things about Edge is that it has what they're referring to this as acrylic appearance, and it's kind of an opaque look that shows up, but it is it's a nice appearance. So here, if I want to find something on a certain page with an Edge, I can come up with a that's not what I want to do. Let's go back. I can do this and say, for instance, I want to do a search on find on this page. Let me move that out of the way. So I'm going to go here and say find on this page, and then I'm going to get this applet right here, and I want to find the words like Winter Games.
Welcome to Olympic.
And then when I go here, you notice that it's finding it as I do my as I search for. That's probably the only way. Let's see what else is there. Maybe gold medal or gold. I can. There's only one instance of that, and I go click on it. And it's finding one result of that. But I can go backwards and forwards, but I can also use the shortcut key of F3, which will go, which will bring up find a page without me actually having to go there. I can just do find a page, and it'll come up. And I can go backwards and forwards by using the F4 key or the Shift F3, which takes me back. So I don't know if you kind of do any kind of research on your browser trying to find different words, but that's something that they were taunting about. So we talked about Edge being a PDF reader. You can now ink in PDF. I'm going to go here and bring up a PDF. Let's see here. And you see the icon right here? That icon right there represents that that's going to come up in Edge. So as you can see, this PDF is being opened in Edge, and I can then go and use the inking, and I can annotate this by underlining it or striking out or doing any of those things on my PDF. And so that's something that has been added. Let's see here. And then, of course, we talked about the EPUB's improvements. You can annotate your EPUB documents just like I did in Edge. And, of course, we demonstrated the read-aloud mode. And then if you're reading in one device, say, for instance, if you have Edge on your phone, which you can do, you can download Edge for your smartphone, then you can start reading a document on your smartphone and then come back to your computer and pick up where you left off. So that's another benefit. And again, when we talk about picking up where you left off, it also is something that is noteworthy in Cortana. For example, if you're working on a Word document on your phone or browsing a site, Cortana can pop up a notification asking if you want to continue this on your PC and vice versa. So, I found myself doing that, and I can say, well, I want to continue this on my PC, and I just select that option, and then when I go to my PC and bring up my browser, then that place where I was on my phone is now on my PC. So
Bill, we are a little bit out of time. Is there any last questions or one last topic you needed to talk to us about?
Okay. Yeah, I think we're just about done. That was the last slide. So,
right. One last question.
How close are we to being able, well, for example, let's go back. iPhones, iPads, Apple computers such as Macs are all synced or can sync. How close are we being able to sync our Windows PC to our Apple products?
I don't think I caught all of that. How?
You want me to repeat it?
You can to a degree. I mean, it's not. I've done a presentation on that. It's not as easy as it is with others, but you can if you use the same app. Say, for instance, if you're using Microsoft Word on your Mac, you can sync the documents that you create on your PC. It has to do with the applications themselves.
Or that we're using 3D printing.
So if you're using similar applications, then yes, you can sync those two together. And, of course, that would be the same with some of the mail products as well.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. We've enjoyed it.
Well, you're most welcome.